Welcome to the Williams Nikken YB Herton phone conference line.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Hi, Karen.
Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Nancy. Is that hot down there? In Texas? Hot down there in Texas?
Oh, I'm sorry. No, you were talking to me. I put you on speaker while I finished getting on the internet. Yes, it's going to be 94 or 95 today.
Woo!
And then Sunday it will be 100. No,
I guess that's pretty warm.
I think today will be 97. And then by Sunday it'll be 100.
Move it up on you slowly, not to give you too much shock.
Good morning.
Good morning, Monty.
I was just a little late. Had some things to have to take care of here around the house real quick, like. But I'm here now.
Well, we're just having a big discussion on the weather. Karen, I want to know what it is on the east side of the mountains.
It's a little bit rainy this morning.
Same as over here. That's not how it's raining, but it's overcast.
It's not rain, I know you have.
Not 100%. Yikes, somebody's got to squeak. Not me, I've got a new headset.
You sound good.
That's good.
Okay. So
yep,
we want to get
702.
Okay.
Hello, Monty.
This is Monty from Olympia, Washington, where, like Ruth said, it's a little moisty out right now, but that's okay. It's every day I enjoy it when it starts to get light out and the sun comes up, and even though we got cloudy skies, I know the sun's up there, so I'm going to get positive and put on my sunglasses, and when I walk out to the garage, I want to make sure that no coconuts fall off the coconut trees and hit me in the head. So, in a real good mood, because I know up above them old clouds and all that rain, there's good weather.
Yeah, dreamer, Monty.
Got to be something. Today's going to be an interesting day. Just first of all, I'd like to welcome everybody to the call, whether you're on the WebEx or not on the WebEx. But we, as we all know, the mission of this particular program is to teach and support the practice of habitual health style choices, becoming more mind and body fit. And that's so true, and I totally believe it. So I'm going to go through a quick review of last week, if you don't mind, to kind of let, if you weren't on any of the particular calls, to let you know maybe what we talked about. But if you would like to listen to a particular call, you can always go to allswell.org and click on that site, and you can pull up the particular program or the day that you missed, which can bring you right strictly up to date. But on Monday, last Monday, Ruth talked about how can we do the best for our healthy body, and if we don't know how our body is, and if we don't know how our body health functions. And we all know that's real important. That's one of the main things we've learned here, and that is that we need to listen to our body. We need to know basically what certain things do in our body, particularly when it comes to food, environment, air, water, everything. So that's very important. She also asked the question, if we had a subject that we would like to talk about, please let her know, email her, and so that we can make sure that we get it covered. I think it was Joan asked the question, and I could be wrong, but the question was that pH, which is the best, how to find out the pH balance of our bodies, was it through saliva, blood, and urine? And I don't have the expert answer to that, but I personally feel that the saliva in our mouth is one pH, By the time then that we eat certain foods, that pH within our mouth changes as it goes down into our digestive system. It again changes again due to the digestive juices and chemicals and everything else. And then when we pass it through urine out of our body, it is basically another pH. So when we got started in this alkaline and acid type foods, one of the things I did is I went out and I bought some test strips that basically allow me to test my pH balance on the utilizing my the strips in a cup of urine first thing in the morning. And I did find for my own self that once I did start eating the alkaline, I was quite pH acid. And then I did find as we progressed this program that I'm becoming more alkaline on a daily basis. So there's basically three ways. The pH and saliva in your mouth, blood and urine, and probably that next time you go to your doctor, I guess if you want to make sure what your pH is in your blood, probably the best thing to do would be to ask for that particular test. We talked about the alkaline acidic chart on which type of foods is best, of course, to be eating. Be as alkaline as we possibly can, even though there is a balance. We don't want to be too pH, and we don't acidic, and we don't want to be all the way alkaline. And that's why here again it goes back to better choices, knowing that if we eat a acid type food, that we should pretty much include an alkaline type of a food or foods in it, so that way we can get our pH balance better to our body. One of the questions came up about how that a lot of us like to research things on the web. Glenn was on the call that particular morning, and his comment was the best way to do that is to have a Mac. Well, I don't have a Mac. I have a Windows, but I know that we need to be careful when we search the web based upon if you know the site and you know it's pretty honest, you can probably go there. But usually where you find and pick up viruses is that if you go to a site that you know that is a good site, and then you click on a link from that site to another site, that's usually where possibly you can start be picking up stuff. Tuesday, Karen was the host, and that was her fantastic Tuesday. And we kind of all shared some things about how we had personally been feeling going on. And Joan talked about her organic gardening. Nancy talked about getting off of gluten and noticing the big difference that when she got off gluten, that certain things happened to that she found in her body. And one was she was getting quite a bit of drainage going back down in the back of her throat. And when she got off gluten-type foods as much as possible, that drainage went away. Margaret talked about getting back on the block chart, and the block chart is very important. We used it in the past, and it pretty well much tells us how many carbohydrates, proteins, or fats that we should be getting in our body. So the block chart, again, I think is very important, and understanding the block chart and knowing which are the good carbohydrates, the bad carbohydrates, the good proteins, and so forth, even in regards to fats. We've had a lot of conversation over the weeks about certain types of fats. So the block chart is there, and you can pick up, you need to know that. You can always go to the website, YB Hurton, and it is underneath Ruth's presentations, I believe, or is that where it's at, Ruth?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
I'm going to switch to the desktop, and then they can see that maybe.
Oh, okay. Well, we found that the block chart is very, very important in regards to and the nice thing about the block chart, if we really understand it and how it works, and that is that if it remember that we need, as a woman, we need three blocks of each. If we're a male, we need four blocks of each. But when we look at the chart as an example, if we see, says one block is of protein is 1.5 ounces, as an example, of a block of a protein, and when we get it up here, I'll kind of discuss it a little better. but we need to make sure that we have four of those blocks. And that could be 3 times 3.5 ounces, which is, I think, about 6 ounces, or whatever, for a man, 4 ounces, I should say, 4 blocks. For women, that would only be, let me see, if it's an ounce, let's assume it's an ounce, that means you could have 3 ounces of a particular food, or you could have two different types of foods, blocks, to make up the total of 3 blocks in that protein category. And that's a thing that I thought was real important. I know when we first started the program, a lot of people said, man, I'm hungry all the time, and realized that they were looking at a block as being, that's all they could particularly have. But it's a very nice chart. It's some people have printed it off and have protected it and carry it with them, and particularly when they make up their menus and doing all that sort of stuff. So chart is very, very, I feel, important. It's just nothing more than a guideline. If you want to lose weight, stick with a chart. If you want to gain weight, just add blocks, but make sure that they're in the right particular type of amount of foods. Also, we talked about chronic diseases and what kind of bird am I? And, you know, am I the type of bird that hears information and thinks my health is good and doing whatever, and so I stick my head in the sand and I don't look for more knowledge or more information and try to find nuggets that'll help me in my particular incidences? Or am I the type of a bird that kind of got my head up real high and my eyes wide open and my ears wide open and wanting to listen to certain things that we talk about on this particular call and taking that as wisdom and knowledge and putting it to work for it? Also, we just started to get into a subject in regards to being prepared for certain types of situations and emergencies that could happen in our particular area. Wherever you happen to live, you need to think about that, because I feel that's one thing that we kind of take for granted sometimes, that, well, everything's okay, and as long as I got my garden or I got a little, you know, food in the house or whatever. But most people, when they go to their pantries, and I say most people, not all, pretty much find that they don't have a too much good supply of food if they happen to need food for 7 days or a month or 3 months or whatever, and couldn't get to the grocery store. So preparedness, I think, is something that we have talked about. Ruth talked about we talked about drying foods. In other words, if you have a garden, or even if you don't have a garden, you know, I can remember when I was young, I had a girlfriend and her husband and her dad and mom used to, every year, we live here in Olympia, Washington, drive over to Yakima on a nice looking Sunday, and the only reason for that purpose was to buy a whole bunch of peaches that had just been picked out of the orchard to bring back here to Olympia and can. And canning, of course, is one way that we can make sure that we have it. In the old days, people did a lot of canning. Nowadays, unfortunately, canning to most people is, in particular the younger generation, is it's a real strange thing. Most of them don't even know how to do it. We talked about drying food. Somebody asked what was a good dryer food. And the Excalibur is a very nice dryer, and I think Ruth talked about that. You can also get Ziploc bags, and you can have a vacuum, the air sucked out of it, utilizing the vacuum type pack. And we talked about medicines, how it's important to make sure that we have medicines as much as we can on stock, just in case. Antibodies and the effects they have on our health. And that they are not all good antibiotics. We talked about that. And most antibiotics kill all bacteria, good or bad. And we need to take probiotics and things to make sure that if we are on antibiotics for any particular reason, that our gut gets the certain type of enzymes and things in it that it needs to stay as healthy as it possibly can. Also, that the antibiotics can cause leaky gut and all kinds of other bad effects on the body. L-glutamine is an amino acid that Nancy is now trying for leaky gut, and she was going to report back to us in regards to that. Antibiotics can can be, Ruth talked about, even though we don't take them as we would like a prescription, that we have to remember that antibiotics are also in our meat. When they fatten the cattle in the nice pens, that sometimes they get fed antibiotics. It's also in our vegetables because of fertilization and things that come out of the air and whatever. So what can we do about it? You know, eat what we need to by keeping a balance. And we thought that was very important through exercise and eating organic vegetables and keep as much stress away from our body as we possibly can. We talked about a couple products that particular day was in regards to keeping our body as healthy as it can. And lactoferrin, the immunity, and the greenzymes are ones that are beneficial to our gut, our body, our digestive system, and very good for case of firm immunity. On Thursday, Ruth, we talked about some healthy choices with recipes. We also got into preparedness and different things, and we talked about the aquaporin and supplements and Nikan products and transportation and neighbors' help. I talked about how my neighbor helped me through this last ice and snowstorm that we had here, and if it wasn't for her, I would have had a real, you know, she even brought a little propane heater down that I could put in my office to where I could basically, it didn't keep me warm, it just took the chill off of everything, and I was so thankful that when I crawled in my bed at night that I had that, our quilt and the magnetics, which keep my blood flowing through my body, which helped keep me warm. So that's pretty much where kind of things ended up. Thursday, I was not able to catch all of the call. Ruth, is there anything on Thursday that you mentioned? I had to leave in about 10 minutes after the hour. Is there anything that you need one to talk about that you mentioned on Thursday that I don't have down here?
I think we continued talking about being prepared, and I think we just realized there's so many different ways to be prepared. I think we could talk about that for another week.
Yeah, well, that's kind of where I think I'm going to go for the rest of this call, and one of the things that I feel about preparedness, and I do that because I think the first thing that we need to be prepared for anything, and that is to be in good health and be physical fit. And what do I mean by physical fit? Well, you know, they always, one of the things, I know this sounds strange to you, but I read in a book that said, make a fat man defenseless, all you got to do is just knock him down because he probably can't get up. Well, I found that to happen to be true with me. We had a plumber going to come here to fix a leak under the sink, and I had to go outside to turn off the water, and when I had to reach down in this kind of hole, it was down under the ground, and I had to reach down there and turn the water off, and unfortunately I got unbalanced, and when I rolled over on the ground, my first thought was, geez, I hope nobody saw that because it embarrassed me to death. And then I realized that I couldn't get up, so I had to kind of crawl my way over to the house and work my way up the wall in order to be able to stand up. But here's one thing I learned, and it goes to regards to preparedness. How many of us know exactly where our shutoff for our water is in our home? How many of us know if we're on gas, which I'm not, how do you shut the gas off to your house immediately? In case of an earthquake or some sort of a leakage within your house with a hot water heater or anything else like that, and one thing I can tell you that I have now outside where I shut the water off to the house is I do have a tool which is I have taped to the side of the house by where the water gets turned off, so I can stand up and utilize this tool and turn the water off. It's just like knowing basically, I know most of you know where your circuit breakers are, but there's just a lot of things when it comes to that we don't really kind of think about. You know, it's like duct tape. How many of us have duct tape in case of an emergency situation, windows breaking due to storms or earthquakes or hurricanes or those just little things like that? Be as healthy as we possibly can in physical. Think about, when you think about a preparedness or emergencies, think about where do you live? Are you in a, you know, like where I live here, I don't have to worry about floods, and I don't think Ruth, where she lives, has to worry about flooding either. But But, you know, there are some areas of the United States where floods are, you got to be prepared, and sometimes you got to just immediately, I know here in the Northwest when it rains real bad and our storms, our streams and rivers get high, people sometimes have, all they have time for is just in a real quick 5 to 15 minutes to an hour to get out because the water's rising. So wherever you live, stop and just think, what were the two major disasters that could happen to you and where you live, and then think about what it is that you possibly would need to do. You know, we talked about medications and making sure we have a good supply of that. And Karen asked the question, I think, the other day to me about, well, how did I get my doctor to prescribe it? Well, I asked him to do that. And the other thing I found out, that if I had in my pharmacy anyhow, as long as I had a prescription, that I, even though I went in and I could, and it wasn't covered by my insurance, that I could actually buy the prescription and pay the price. Well, that's what I did in regards to some insulin situations, is that I went and paid the extra price to make sure that I was stocked up. And I know when Mother was still with me, that's what I did with her. I made sure that we had the blood thinners and everything else in case some emergency happened. And I had to pay for those too. So there is ways of getting it. Thinking about transportation, you know, I talked about how I keep my gas tank half full all the time, because you never know when you're going to need transportation, when electricity is going to go out and you can't get gas at your gas pump and like that. You talk about water, you know, why do we need water? Do you have enough water in your house to take care of yourself for like 3 days or 7 days? And just in thinking about, you know, I read an article the other day talking about if a person ever had a situation to where they still had water but couldn't get much of it, but that was to take a Japanese shower. What's a Japanese shower? Well, it's where you wet your rag and your soap, and then you soap up your wash rag, and then you don't turn the water on your body as far as the shower goes, but you scrub yourself down real good, and then when you go to get all the soap off you, you turn your shower on and only use it for the purpose of getting rid of the soap, but also not draining the water out of the bathtub when they knew that emergency or a bad storm was coming, and to use that water that was in the bathtub through that particular shower or showers, of utilizing it to help flush toilets. And I know that's one thing a lot of people don't think about, you know, that if you're on a well, or you're on a power system, or, you know, when your electricity goes out, do you have water? I talked about how some cities have what they call gravity feed systems, and that's where they have a big 500,000-gallon tank on top of a hill someplace, and even though the power goes out, the water can still get out to those particular people. But if there's no power and there's no generators, or the generators have run out of gas because an extended time and there's no gas available for it, once that $500,000 tank is empty at the top, we're out of water. We think about food. You know, what kind of foods do you eat? I think when people start preparing, I have my own philosophy, and that is I'm not going to go out, and I didn't go out and buy 5 gallons of, or five pound bucket, a pail of flour or wheat or rye or whatever, because I never bake. I don't use them. I wouldn't know how to use them. I wouldn't have the equipment available to take the raw wheat, as an example, and grind it up. So those are just things to think about. Just so if you're going to get involved in preparedness, well, like I say, whether it be 3 days or however long, most people prepared that understand this for at least 6 months up to a year. So there's different ways of doing it. If anybody has a question at any time, please speak up. I know I get to rattling on here, but that's just like, does anybody have any questions so far? It's like a first aid kit. You know, how many first aid kits do you have in your house? You talk about your car. What about in your car? It's like people go here in the Northwest, my big concern was that if I'm in town and I have an earthquake and I've got bridges I got to cross and all that kind of stuff, and those bridges are out, do I have water in my car? Do I have extra food in my car? Do I have extra blankets in my car? It just doesn't need to, you know, I think about Karen and Clyde. Every time they go to the medical assistance or go to a hospital, she's got to go all the way across the good old Cascades. And, you know, and there's a lot of things that can happen. Even during the summer, you can have traffic jams or automobile accidents that we can't. You know, are we prepared to sustain ourselves in our vehicles, even having a little extra cash in there for certain reasons? Like flashlights, you know, blankets, candles. You know, are we prepared not only in our homes but also in the transportation that we utilize? Let's assume that we all of a sudden the power goes out and we don't have water. One thing I learned in the Air Force after spending 8 years in it, and that was they taught me to be very aware of things around me. Be prepared, whether that be people walking towards you or in a mall or just the environment that you see, things happening, to be aware of what's going on. Well, if I was to ask most people on this call, where would your closest source of water be if for some reason your well didn't work and you had no source of water? Where could you go to get water? And how far away would that be? That could be a creek, that could be a river, that could be a stream, that could be a water pond. That could even be somebody that has cattle that has water tanks. Where could you go to get water if you needed it in an emergency situation? Also, are you physically fit to go get that 5-gallon jug full of water or whatever it is you need to be able to walk there and get back? So what kind of transportation would you have? Do you have a little cart maybe that you could push to that sort of things? Then once we get that water, we got to worry about, well, is it contaminated in any source? Well, the first thing that we should always do with water that we're not well is that it's potable, and that is, do we need to boil it? Also, there's different ways of bringing it to a water boil for 2 or 3 minutes. There's ways that even in our home, if we had to use water sources that we didn't need, you know, could people sometimes don't know that they can use actually bleach, and Clorox, for instance, in their home, and they could put anywhere from an eighth of a teaspoon of Clorox into a gallon of water and agitate it a little bit and then wait for a few minutes and then cover it up, but that would actually purify it, the water. I have coffee filters. I have extra coffee filters. Matter of fact, I got 300 extra coffee filters in my home. And guess what? I don't drink coffee, but I know if I ever got in a situation where I ever had to use bad water that I could utilize the coffee filters to filter that water through. But I do have an aquaphor. I do have the waterfall. I do have the bottled water, the bottles of water that I could actually take water that was filthy and do certain things to filter it and then run it through my other filters from Nikin, and I could come out with some pretty doggone good water. It's like I have extra filters, even for my old aquaphor, the gravity feed. I have extra filters for that, and the charcoal and the ceramic for the top of it. Only you never know when it's going to happen. You know, how many new filters do you have for your waterfall? When we stop and think about preparedness, we need to, in my opinion, be prepared in many, many ways. Let's talk about silver, for instance. And I know that Ruth had talked about having some extra cash available and things, but you know, one of the things I found out when I started to prepare was that one of the things that a lot of people have that they don't know is real true value, and that is silver coins. And what is a silver coin? Well, the coins we make today are not silver coins. They're mostly made out of zinc and other things, and they're really no value. Matter of fact, the value of the metal that's in the coin is actually worth less. But I'll just kind of give you an idea. Now, when we think about silver coins, and sometimes people have saved coins over the years, or have mothers and fathers that have coins that they've saved and that kind of stuff. But every quarter isn't worth just a 25 cents. When you take a coinage, silver coins, anything 1964 and older is basically 90% silver. And silver right now today is at $26.37. But, you know, when I found that out, I started even checking my coins that I used to get from grocery stores whenever I would go in and buy food. And I found out that, doggone it, every once in a while I'd find a nice 1964 or older coin. And it's like a quarter today, if it's 1964, basically, or less as an example, a Washington quarter, 1932 to 1964, is worth $4.82 of silver's in it. So basically, and you know, a lot of times people steal silver, and so and they don't they just think it's with the kids. You know, we got sometimes people have sources of silver coins laying around. A half dollar, a Franklin half dollar is worth $9.64 today, today's market value. So one of the things I did, once I found that out, I started to ask people about silver coinage and things like that, and a lot of people had it. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know, you probably know that it's worth more than what it is, but I'll give you the true value of what it's worth today, because I believe that silver and things like gold are going to increase, and in times of emergency, there are definitely good ways of barter. The best thing, and Ruth talked about this the other day, that we need extra food and things like that for barter purposes, so that if somebody doesn't have maybe some food, but they have something that you need, that you could barter for that down the road. Now, I'm talking about extended emergency situations here, but sometimes we have, it's like a crazy nickel from 19, a mercury dime, as an example right now, is worth $1.92. So sometimes we have cash around that we don't know that we have. One of the other things I want to talk about today real quick, and that's food, that's expiration dates. I always, when I do buy something in a can that I buy out of the grocery store, because I'm not into canning or I don't have my own garden, and sometimes I do buy some vegetables and things like that, I always check the expiration date. I always remember when I went to the grocery store here about a year ago, they had a real good sale on salad dressings, and I thought, man, I can stock up on that. That was before I got back on this program. And when I went to buy it, I happened to notice that the expiration date that had been expired for over 3 months. So make sure that when you buy food out of the grocery store and it does have an expiration date on it, always make sure that the expiration date is value and it's good for at least a year to 2 years down the road. Those are just some of the things I kind of want to talk about preparedness today. I know I've got a lot more that I can talk about. You know, one of the other ways you can get water good, and that is to set it out in the sun, you know, because the sun has UV, and if you're using a pet, for instance, bottles, that type of stuff, you can actually utilize the sun itself to help purify and get rid of the crud that's in the water in regards to bacteria and things like that. There's just a lot of other ways that I could talk to you about, but we don't have a lot of time. So just wanted to cover that because I think it's very important, but I do feel the most important way to prepare, and that is to be on a program such we have and utilizing getting our health the best we can possibly be and be in physical condition to be able to, in case some sort of a situation, just like Ruth talked about getting on her bike the other day and pedaling out to the garden or doing whatever, and I thought to myself the time she said that, I thought, well, if she didn't have gas for a car, she's always got a way to get next door or get someplace, because by just a bicycle alone sometimes could be the most valuable mode of transportation we have. But the best mode of transportation, of course, being able to walk, and that's why exercise is important. That's why our Nikan products are important. That's why our multi-supplements and vitamins are very important, because we need to be strong, healthy, the best we can possibly be, and if we're not, we need to work for that. So that's about, I guess, all I have to say today, Ruth. Does anybody have any questions that you might like to have answered, or any comments that you found that could be help in regard to preparedness?
Well, Monty, I'm going to somehow get your address, and you're going on my emergency be prepared list. I think we should all meet at Monty's house or Ruth's house, and I think this call, if we could just put it in our heads, could be on our emergency prepared list, because we could be sharing information if some such emergency happened on this, you know, if we had phones. I have, my water pipe broke once, and, you know, I'm a woman, single. I mean, I'm, you know, nobody's to dig. And I bought for $11 at Ace Hardware that water shut off thing, and I shut that off because my you know, of course my bill was going sky high. And I have now, what I use then, I keep it for emergencies, a garbage can at Ace Hardware, and a black plastic bag. And it's, and for 2 weeks, I would turn my water on, fill up that garbage can, that giant, you know, with, I don't know how many gallons are in those garbage cans, but, and I would have, you know, water in the kitchen, you know, for drinking and all kinds of things. I mean, it wasn't the best of all waters, but it was water. So that was, that's something that's on my list if that ever happens. And of course those flashlights, the flashlight I carry in my car is the kind of, that doesn't ever need batteries. You shake it up and it will give you enough light to, you know, see your way through in darkness or, you know, explore your car or whatever.
One of the things I do, because I'm in an we're in an earthquake situation here, and that is that we never know when an earthquake is going to happen. So before I go to bed at night, I have a little bag, okay?
Yeah.
In that bag, I put my cell phone, I put a little flashlight, I have a whistle, I have things in it. I make sure that I keep my shoes, an example. They're underneath my bed so that I know exactly where they are because of an earthquake situation. You know, glass, things fall and all that kind of stuff. It's just like I used to have pictures over my bed, you know, nice big pictures. Well, guess what? Those pictures are all gone because I know an earthquake situation. If I'm in my bed, I'm probably, that's where I'm going to end up or try to get in. Well, I couldn't get underneath my bed, but make sure that those kind of things aren't going to fall. And I know these are things that maybe sound strange, but I just really feel that the best way that we can be prepared for most things or emergencies in our life, and that is to be able to be physical fit. And if you got to chop wood, or you got to go for water, or you got to walk to the wherever you got to do to get assistance or whatever. So health, I think, is very important. I know we got on this subject of preparedness, but you know there are certain foods that are just beneficial to our body, and just make sure that we're moving. And like Mary Lou has always said, if you don't move, you lose it. And that's so true. So particularly as the older I get, I find that I'm more aware of being more physical fit than I am, just in case of any type. And the nice thing about preparedness is this. If you're rotating your foods and you're doing whatever, you're doing it in the right way, and you're saving yourself a whole bunch of money. Because one of the things that's increasing based upon this world economy is food is going up like crazy. So just make sure that if you are buying food that you're rotating it and utilizing it in the way that it needs to be utilized. So anybody else have anything to say? If not, I'm going to wrap this one up.
I have a list of quite a few thoughts that I'll carry over to Monday. A couple of things that I didn't have and a couple of ideas, Monty, so I sure appreciated all that you had to say today.
Yeah, this week I talked to the town of Steilacoom and my church, and, you know, once a year they have a kind of a preparedness, you know, event, you know, or, you know, advertisement or whatever, a little exercises. This next year, I'm encouraging them to have everyone meet either the community center or the church that it's the only big church in Steilacoom. And people bring food that they prepared that they have on hand, okay? You don't go out and buy something, like a potluck, but it's what you have on hand. What you do is pretend that day that there was a giant earthquake, and you bring whatever you have, and that just will make, you know, wake people up and have a big community.
So, Joan, let's carry that over till Monday.
Yeah. Okay.
Bring that up again, because we did that on Vashon, and that's a good thing to think. We could talk about that a bit more. So
I just got one more thing before I want to say, before I'm done, Ruth, and that is that when we think of preparedness, or I talk about it or other people do on the call, is I don't want to ever give the impression that people need to all of a sudden become totally worried or stressed or worried about what's going to happen and that kind of stuff, because that's the worst thing that's bad for our body, and that is stress. But the reason I try to give is this information, I'm sure other people do, and that is that just to be aware, just to be thoughtful, be considerate. And, you know, we are a support group, and anything we can do to support each other is very important. So don't get all shook up or whatever, but just look around and think what you could do to, in case something happened, And you don't have to go out and buy thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars worth of stuff. Mm-hmm. Like Karen,
just do a bit every week.
Just Karen, like Karen said, just go when you buy something, just buy a couple extra cans, rotate it properly, and you're okay. So I'm this could still go on. So I'm going to say everybody have a great weekend. Ruth, look, we might be a little bit more on this subject on Monday. I know we'll definitely be talking about food and health. So thank you all for being here, whether you're on the WebEx or not. We appreciate each and every one of you. And if you think that this call could be beneficial to other people in your family or neighbors or things like that, then give them a telephone number, let them know what time, and they might hear something that could just be a nugget that could totally change your life. So everybody have a great weekend. Stay excited, eat healthy, and we'll be here on Monday morning.
Thanks, Monty.
Thank you, Ruth. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Maya. You're good.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a great day.